Mad Tower Radio, broadcasting to you live from the Witching Hour tonight. As always, I have my co-host Christian here, and we're ready to bust it wide open for you today.
It's true.
How's it going, Christian?
We are recording tonight at the dead of time, you know, directly midnight.
We just figured we'd give this a shot, see if the audio comes in a little cleaner.
See if any dark forces will pick up on our recording. Yeah.
Good for the heat, good for like atmosphere and just stuff like that, but It's not like I have any windows in my room anyway, so it feels the same as when I woke up.
I do this raw facing a window, but now I'm just looking into the black void.
That's nice. That's nice.
It's terrifying.
I have my episode timestamp notes for editing the video, and I like thumbtack them to my desk, so I got a little conspiracy board going. It's pretty cool.
In like 5 months, it's gonna start looking like a serial killer's like scrapbook.
Yeah, 5 months. That's when I plan to get like some red yarn and loop it around all the thumbtacks. Really start bringing it together. But anyway, let's get right into it. Christian, have you ever taken a totally innocent trip to the supermarket?
Not lately, but yeah. I've fancied the fresh grocer now and then.
And as you're walking through the aisles, trying to grab whatever it is you came to get, it seems like someone is always right in front of what you need. Someone is always blocking your path. Doesn't seem deliberate, but just happens to be right where you need to be. That ever happened to you?
I frequently shop at non-prime hours, so not particularly. Are you telling me a theory, or is this an infomercial?
Well, let's say that did happen to you, and you had an absolutely terrible day at the supermarket, and it just seemed like everyone was out to get you there. Well, they just might be. Today, I'm talking about gang stalking.
Gang stalking.
Yes. It is really hard to explain, but it's like there's varying degrees of it to where someone walks outside and they think like, oh, these couple people are in on something and they're trailing me. And then there's, on the more extreme end, people feel that the entire, like, they walk outside and everyone, like, in their general visible, vicinity is in on it.
Is it on stalking them?
Stalking them, trailing them. Let me just get right into it. So gang stalking, let me run you through a little bit of it. So commonly people believe the government is up to it, right?
Mm.
Now there's other versions where... So like gang stalking sounds pretty extreme, but there's other versions in people's account of it where they've called it gang stalking, but it's been something as simple as like mob harassment.
Mob.
Like I was reading this one story about this dude who was making some hawkish business deals in his local town, like trying to swoop in on something. And everybody was pretty upset about it, so they would drive by his house and just honk at all times of the day.
Okay, so like harassing.
Yes. But the more like scary gang stalking you'll hear about, apparently it's perpetrated by the government to people they see as enemies of the state or domestic terrorists.
And
it includes like any and all forms of surveillance, from like bugging your house, like to bugging your car, aerial surveillance of like helicopters and shit, like black vans outside.
So they're like, are people reporting this? Or are they trying to show what is happening to them?
Yeah, there's people reporting on, like, this is people's account. Okay, but then so there's sometimes where people will, like the supermarket thing I was doing in the intro, like people say that they go to the supermarket and they're being gang stalked, and it's stuff as simple as that. like that video I sent you where the dude is like just walking around with his phone out recording people, and these people were doing like, these people were doing things as simple as like adjusting their hair, and he's like, oh, she's adjusting her hair, that's a signal, she's signaling, you know.
Yeah, that video you sent me made it seem like some dude was kind of just going crazy at the grocery store.
Yeah, it did.
Like, the United States government targets you, finds you an enemy, so they send people to stand in front of the pears and block
so
you.
So here's the goal, right? I know that sounds extremely dumb, right? But the goal
seems domestic.
Is to make you look crazy.
Oh.
The goal is to make you look insane, because it's just people doing stuff as normal as blocking where you need to be at the supermarket and stuff like that.
It's like they're gaslighting you, okay.
Yeah, it's like that. Like they're gaslighting you into like, you know, you can see it because you've become aware. They're mm-hmm. making it only aware to you. And it's extremely hard to like spot this unless you're the target or you have a really keen eye.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I watched like a 40-minute long video about the like tactics and stuff that they use. It is so apparently it has its origins from the Stasi, aka the secret police in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And something, a U.S. operation called COINTELPRO from the FBI, which was an illegal project in the 60s, started in the late 50s, mid-50s, and went to the 70s. And it's all about FBI surveillance and infiltrations of detractor organizations.
Yeah, that ticks all the boxes, like CIA taking it from the Nazis.
Uh-huh. That's checking all the boxes. That's called COINTELPRO. You can look this stuff up. I have a little excerpt about it.
Okay.
From the Wikipedia page. FBI records show that COINTELPRO resources targeted groups and individuals that the FBI deemed subversive, including feminist organizations, the Communist Party, anti-Vietnam War organizers, activists of the civil rights movement or Black Power movement, environmentalist and animal rights organizations, the American Indian movement, independence movements such as Puerto Rico independence, and a variety of organizations that were part of the broader New Left. The program also targeted the Ku Klux Klan in 1964.
So this is like a patented technique.
Yes, like it's never referred to as gang stalking. It's never like referred to as that, but mm-hmm. it does outline the objectives of COINTELPRO. Mm-hmm. And I have them listed here. It's create a negative public image for target groups. Break down internal organization by creating conflicts. Create dissension between groups. Restrict access to public resources. Restrict the ability to organize protest. Now, if they wanted to switch up this tactic and keep it off the books so that they could do it to an individual, well, that checks all the boxes except restrict the ability to organize protest. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you're feeling watched, feeling bugged, feeling attacked or whatever, it's going to make it hard to organize, I think.
Well, I mean, if you're one individual and you can't find anyone to believe you, like,
mm-hmm.
that's why I left out checking the box for organized protests. But, like, restrict access to public resources, like, okay. I mean, this sounds a little intense for blocking your spot in the grocery store.
But if you don't feel safe or you don't feel good about going to the store, you know, it's sort of
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, no, like
every single like a I don't know the expression for like not the straw that broke the camel's back, but every single straw before that, you know, like building these problems.
It's supposed to be invisible to everyone except you. It's designed to make you look crazy. It's designed to induce anxiety and agoraphobia. you know. The 40-minute tactics video I watched, this guy talked about street theater, which is known as a... He recorded some guy doing it who was supposedly a gang stalker, right? He was, like, in on it. And okay. Talking on the phone in public in an elevated voice to grab your attention and dropping key phrases that will appeal only to you. Things like names or addresses or, like...
Oh, no.
Stuff in your personal life that will grab your attention and be like, holy fuck, what's this dude talking about?
I mean, do you ever, like, hear your name in public and you sort of freak out?
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. There have also been times where I probably looked like the gang-stalking perpetrator in public. I do tend to just stare off into space sometimes because I don't got much going on up here. But then I'll come to out of my staring and realize I'm staring at someone. And they've realized I'm staring at them. And now they're just like, what the fuck?
Does the operation include, like, scary, intense eye contact?
Not in anything that I've
seen. Okay, because if...
But I don't think that we could rule it out.
Yeah, if I was just going about my life, doing my thing, and people would just randomly, intensely look at me all throughout the day, that'd be horrifying.
Oh, that'd be really weird. Yeah, so, it's very, like, insane to me that this is, like, it's designed to be invisible. It's designed to, like, it seems very small scale. But to the people that are, like, supposedly being gang stalked, like, it's effective, you know?
Yeah, it's so diabolically, like, domestic. It's so subtle. It's so, like, you can infiltrate it anywhere.
It's hard to point out because it's not like these dudes are in black suits and ties following you around like the Men in Black. It's just people in any day, everyday street clothes, like just, and they're in on it, you know?
So if, let's not say like the United States government offered you this, but if like some company was like, hey, would you walk like through your grocery store and just sort of hang out and look at people, just sort of like fill up this space?
I feel like it'd be a super easy thing to disguise too. It's like, oh hey, we're trying to prank my friend.
Yeah,
here's $10, block him in the supermarket, but don't make it look super obvious, you know? Like, these people might not even have to be trained. They might not even have to be specialists of any sort.
They don't even know they're a part of the game. Yeah, they could be manipulated into this sort of action.
Uh-huh. Especially since it has, like, origins in infiltration, this COINTELPRO thing.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and I guess COINTELPRO, weird name when I first saw it, but I guess it comes from Counterintelligence Project.
Oh, okay, COINTEL.
Yeah, and people say that since it has origins in the secret police, that... if you see a lot of dudes wearing red, then that might be a tell.
You're getting gang stalked.
Yeah, like if you see a lot of people wearing red, that might be a tell. There's also other tells that they were talking about in the tactics video. It was kind of hard to follow, but I can see where he was coming from because it was just like, he was like, yeah. Now watch this clip. And it was a clip of a car driving past him with a horse trailer. Okay. And then he's like, now look at these clips. And it was just a bunch of clips of cars with horse trailers. But there was no timestamps or anything. And I'm like, there's probably an infinite number of pictures and videos of cars with horse trailers on them. You know? But I understand the point he was trying to make was like, if you see... like a huge influx of that kind of stuff. Like if we're noticing it, it might be a simple tell for these gang stalkers to know who's in on it, who's their ally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it seems to serve the purpose of the mission to be almost a little obvious, to have that kind of tell to it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. The tell could be like, oh, like, we need this guy to notice. Yeah, we need something super small but inconspicuous. Let's just spam his life with horse trailers. I mean, it sounds a little ridiculous, but I mean, if the intention is to make the person seem crazy, then I mean, that might work. I mean, if you got a guy making a YouTube video where it's just him and the camera playing a bunch of clips of horse trailers being like, look, this is a tell.
Yeah.
I think you're achieving your goal. You know what I mean?
It builds that very stereotypical conspiracy theorist. Like, don't you guys see it? Like, open your eyes, sheeple. It's right in front of you. Like, that kind of thing we're
trying
all
to
looking
make
at.
You look crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, like, it's pretty fucking genius if this is all true and that's what they're trying to do here, you know?
Jesus. Now I'm terrified to go back to, like, regular life now.
I know. And it's got to be really shitty living where you are in the super metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm down here in the swamp. I can go like 4 days without seeing another person.
Yeah, if I'm on the train when this all comes back together and I see like 17 dudes in earbuds wearing purple shirts, I'm gonna freak out.
Or if you see a horse trailer on the subway, you know that you're being watched.
I'm being followed if the train has a horse trailer on the back of it.
The conductor's in on it. But, like, I have an account. Not an account, but, like, there's a very vocal guy online about it. His name is Richard Bruce, right?
Mm-hmm.
He talks about gang stalking. And he believes that he has been being gang stalked ever since he uploaded supposed evidence of the reptilians on YouTube.
He knows. He knows too much. So
he believes he's being mostly surveilled by helicopters and stuff. He always starts his videos off with, I know I sound crazy, but that's the goal of this.
Yeah, it's covering your back, but also feeding them.
Uh-huh. I have his Q&A pulled up right here. So.
Okay.
Oh, there was a good one earlier. Okay, here it is. So he, like, this dude believes he's being gang stalked to the point where he walks outside. If he sees an aircraft, that aircraft is there for him.
Okay.
You know? And one of the questions is, how can they get a helicopter out so quickly on just a thought that you have? He goes, I don't think they do. I learned from John Lear videos on YouTube, a believable revelation that the government has holographic technology to simulate aircraft where with noise and vibration, one absolutely cannot tell the difference from an actual aircraft.
It's all a game. You gotta think the aircrafts are after you. Okay.
He's being stalked by Project Bluebeam helicopters.
Yeah, he's being hologram stalked. Okay.
You know? But this guy, very interesting. His Q&A is great. Richard Bruce. Because he answers, he has like really good answers for all his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never like, it never looks like he has a oh you caught me moment where his like, you know, where it turns into like an Alex Jones thing where he's like, oh fuck, you know. But this dude is very thorough with covering all his bases.
Now, is this a contemporary incident? Is it happening to him right now?
Yes.
Crazy.
Let me go to his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Now he does, he seems to have plunged into the conspiracy, life, you know. I think, I was looking at his channel not more than an hour ago, and he was talking about, COVID and the virus.
As long as he's not saying, like, the 5G towers or something.
Well.
Oh.
You know.
Unless...
nothing about 5G, but right here we have Fauci paid $3.7 million to make AIDS like COVID-19 ?
Okay. Query. He's become the monster.
Is it a plandemic?
A plandemic. Does this man have more subs than Ramtha?
Yeah. Shit. He's got 71.4k.
Oh, dude's rolling in YouTube money.
Man. So if you look at his gang stalking Q&A, what I thought was interesting, and this doesn't have anything to do with anything, so he cites the typical, like, oh, look, here's Obama's hand shape-shifting during a speech. Like, that's how I know he's a reptilian. Amazing. But then he, like, has these cursed images of, like, stills from movies where, like, actors are caught mid-transformation.
On film? Like, transforming? Yeah.
I'll send you the link, because this is a PDF, so I can't save the picture. But I'll send you a link, and I'll put a link in the video description and episode description.
Okay.
By the way, guys, Mad Tower Radio, now on Spotify.
And every podcasting app of your choice with the RSS yep. feed.
We also have an RSS feed as well. So you don't have to keep your phone open while you listen to the show, because I know that nobody on God's Green Earth pays for YouTube Red.
This has given me everything I need when it's freeourworld.org.
Yep.
It's all right there. Okay.
Well, I try not to be too harsh on these guys and, like, make fun of them, like the gang stalking victims, because, one, this could all be fucking true if it's coming from a government spy organized, like, has roots in the FBI. Like,
that's the worst part of it, is me, like, saying anything is feeding that.
Yeah, if you point it out and you try to be like, hey, I'm being gang stalked, it's working as intended.
That's what they want, yeah.
You know, it's absolutely insane to me.
I watched Blade Runner not too long ago, and this document saying that Harrison Ford shapeshifts raw on camera.
Yeah, that image is scary. I don't like it.
Okay.
He has, like, Keanu Reeves' webbed hand.
Oh, my God. This man, like, I'm sure an editor would not take the shot, or not take the cut of the scene where Harrison Ford lets the demons out of his skull. One would hope.
Well, I mean, all of Hollywood's in on it, too.
Okay, but the truth is, they are. Like, the government in Hollywood been tight for a long time.
Yeah. Just ask Stanley Kubrick, who filmed the moon landing.
Oh.
Just kidding. I don't believe that one.
Now that you've said it, 17 dudes with pocket watches are going to walk outside your window next month.
I don't care. Gang stalk me if you want. My life's not that interesting.
I spend
most
flattered.
Of my time. Yeah, come on. Please gang stalk me, government.
You mean this YouTube channel talking about the truth got your attention enough that you hired like 17 actors to whistle my address around me all day?
Well, you know, I'd really believe the gang stalking conspiracy more if you got all the actors to subscribe to my channel.
Yeah, if this somehow blew up and that caused you to want to, you know, gang stalk me.
Honestly, I would keep it going, you know, because they'd have to listen to the podcast to get more, you know.
If the NSA is 7 episodes deep, they're here for the ride. They're not going to leave.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd do my best to make it interesting for them, you know.
For them. Agreed.
You know, we can all have a good time and mutually benefit if you want to gang stalk us, government. Offers on the table. I'll say that right now.
Now, you had made mention of a couple of particular people that have been attributed with gang stalking. You had told me that you were getting in contact with one of them. Which particular person was that?
Yes, I tried to email him. I don't remember
Was it grocery shopping guy?
No, that I just looked up gang stalking on YouTube and that dude came up. I was like, yo, this guy's weird. Like, cause that guy, I mean, like, hey, I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. This comes from a YouTube channel called The Iceman Cometh.
The Iceman Cometh.
Yep.
Man reads good theater.
He never gives his real name, but he left his email, and I emailed him because this guy delivered the information to us, or to me, in the most cut and dry, convincing way.
Okay.
Not convincing, but like, this dude was just putting good, raw information on the table. That's where I learned about the Cointel and the secret police and all that shit. So I will also put that link down for you guys to look at because it's pretty good shit, if I'm being honest here.
But the man didn't have any response to you?
No, I emailed him. Let me read the email verbatim. Be perfectly clear here. Yeah, I was like, man, this is gonna be a long shot. Fuck it.
He's gonna think you're one of them.
Exactly. Well, so the original video I watched from him, he was like, oh, I have my contact information attached. And I was like, cool. And I went to the video description and it wasn't there. And I just commented on the video. I was like, what's your email? And I'm like,
hey, dude,
kind of looks sketchy. You know, but then I scrolled further in the comments and somebody was like, oh, this is a re-upload from the Iceman Cometh.
Okay.
I said, hello, sir. My name is Daniel and my friend Christian and I run a podcast on YouTube and Spotify where we cover all sorts of strange and lesser known topics. I'd like to cover gang stalking in our next video releasing this Sunday and watch your video over the tactics used, and it was very interesting. I'd like to know if there's anything else crucial about gang stalking I should cover or no. The information is hard to find in a cut and dry way, but I feel you delivered it very well in your video. Thank you very much for your time. Very respectfully, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real
and
journalistic approach. That was pretty professional.
Thank you. I was scared. I was like, how do I email this guy without sounding like a fucking idiot?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But if he does end up emailing me back, I only sent that 2 days ago, so I know it was kind of short notice, but if he ends up emailing me back, I will do an update on it. But yeah, I'd like to branch out more on the show to where I'm just like getting in these dudes' DMs and just being like, hey,
tell me
you
want to
talk about it on YouTube? Be about it right now. Tell me what you know about the reptiles.
I would love that.
You know, so I think I'm going to start doing that more.
Okay.
Especially since my next week is, or next episode, I'll be doing the cryptid. And I know that for every cryptid, there's some Indiana Jones wannabe who has a blog about him. So
yeah, someone who met it.
End up emailing that guy. But gang stalking, some crazy shit, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, like how possible, how nefariously real it could be.
Yeah. At first, I didn't know much about it coming into it, just that you're being stalked by multiple people. But once I got into this, like, the section of it where people think it's the government, and then, like, this Cointel stuff coming out and all that good shit, I'm like, okay, I mean, I believe it now. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I'm not saying that, like, I can't say whether or not it's happening, you know? I can't give a definite opinion on whether or not it's happening, but I would not be surprised.
I love the self-protecting nature of it.
Yeah, if it is happening, like, it's genius. It's broken. Mm-hmm. We'll never know. Unless they come out and be like, yeah, we're doing the gang stalking.
Or we will, because they want you to.
Uh-huh. Insanity. Once again.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know. And the reason I like try to be a little sensitive, not hating on our man over here, Richard Bruce, because not him specifically, but a lot of detractors for this are saying, like, oh, the people who think they're being gang stalked are just narcissists, or like,
okay, yeah, I can see that,
you know, like, oh, they're thinking that the world revolves around them in a bad way, you know,
anything you want to be a sign, you could interpret it as a sign.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah,
true. But then on the other hand, some people are kind of sympathetic because they think that these people just have like schizophrenia and they need help, you know.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but some people are just like, yeah, I think they have schizophrenia.
Like there might be some kind of...
But all the accounts that I've seen, save for that one of the dude just walking around with his phone out at the supermarket, but this Richard Bruce guy, I mean, he seems pretty put together, you know? Talked a little bit about himself. His family's had no history of mental issues. Okay. He's never had any criminal history, no drug use, no nothing. Like, he's... in his Q&A, he pretty much lays out everything. Like, he seems like... a man of good character. He was in the Navy. His parents were like, his dad was a medical doctor, something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right.
So he seems like a perfectly normal guy. And then I guess seeing Harrison Ford demon morph and him uploading it to YouTube, now the government's on to him, you know?
That was the original incident, the lizard truth?
No, the original incident for him discovering the lizard truth was Obama's State of the Union. I'll look just so I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
But it was some Obama speech, his hand turned invisible.
You know, I've definitely seen one or two videos where people are like, see, his cloaking device broke mid-speech.
Yeah, his cloaking device broke. I'll see if I can find an image of it, but I don't know if this footage is exclusively on his channel or not. But I'll send you the video right now. Because it's... I have a soft spot for this stuff. It's like, look at George Bush shapeshift on stage.
Oh. Boy, Obama clear hand, State of the Union 2013. I'll dig right into this after the episode.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's gang stalking pretty much in a nutshell. There's a million more things you could probably go on. A million more different subsects of it because, like, it's individual to you. Like, who knows if they tailor your gang stalking, you know?
When you... just sort of started vetting, like, in the beginning of the week when you were like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this particular thing, and you said gang stalking, I thought it was like cult initiation stuff, like a gang will stalk you to like vet
that's
to see
what
if you're
I thought
in
too.
Yeah, like the society of serpent truthers is going to follow you for a year to make sure you're not a dissident thinker before you can join the order or something crazy.
No, it turns out it's just the government following you around making sure you're not a dissident thinker. Fancy that, huh?
Fancy that.
You know, just that list of groups that the Cointel shit was stalking back in the day, like...
I could definitely see, like, Richard Nixon being like, yeah, let's send some people around the house, hippies' houses and freak them out while they're smoking dope.
The women want rights. We need to infiltrate.
Yeah, we need to, like, slip them acid and make them think they're seeing striped-shirted gentlemen.
MK Ultra combined with the Cointel Pro.
It's a flawless strategy.
Truly hell world. You gotta love it, huh?
They don't want you to get the truth.
Well, I think it's time to put a pin in gang stalking for now. Okay. But if I find any good, interesting developments, I'd love to come back to it.
If you were to come next week and tell me you had a delightful conversation with this man, I'd be glad to hear it.
I hope this guy emails me back.
It becomes like a tradition of corresponding with other people out there who know.
Mm-hmm. But without further ado, please, let's get into your cryptid, because I think this is the first week where I've gone spoiler-free with the slightest information about your cryptid. You gave me the name earlier in the week, but I forgot its fucking name, if I'm being honest.
Honestly, I get real excited halfway through the week, and I'm like, oh, wait till you hear about such and such beastie. But this time I kept it close to my chest because I really needed to, like, almost to develop a game plan to attack this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning, I thought it was just a monster in the mountains, you know, and then this wonderful story began to unfold as I dug deeper. So I'm going to try and explain it to you the same way it unfolded to me in my research.
Okay.
So we have a Bigfoot type creature.
Okay. A Bigfoot-like.
Yeah, a Bigfooty guy. It's called the Barmanu, and it's native to northern Pakistan. Barmanau. It has a couple of regional differences.
Can you spell that for me?
Barmanou.
Manou?
Nou, yep.
Barmanu? Okay. But you, anyway, continue on. Native to northern Pakistan?
Yes, it's the sort of northern Pakistan-Afghanistan borders, right before the Himalayas start to come up and just past these sort of steppes and flatlands around there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's characterized, you know, as a Bigfootish creature, a biped, hairy thing that people just start to see walking in the mountains every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a particular man, this sort of anthropologist expert who wanted to get to the bottom of this story. His name is Jordi Magriner.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this 3-year expedition in the mountains to try and find this dude.
Oh, like just living up there?
Yeah, like integrating with society, exploring from 1987 to 1990.
Damn.
And this dude writes this amazing book about it. Now, it's in Spanish. He's from Spain, I do believe. And it's translates to something like the relic hominid of Central Asia.
Hmm.
Now, folks, this book, free, online, I'm gonna link it. It is an absolutely amazing story.
Ooh, free info.
I'm in love with this story that he tells. So, the Barmanu, at first, it's this wild man, this Bigfoot, this thing. But then, as he's interviewing people, he finds out that it's frequently seen wearing skins.
Wearing skins? Like Buffalo Bill?
Like creature skins. Like, I think it's ibex, or skinned clothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not like wearing human flesh.
Okay, I thought, like, this thing was going like Leatherface and putting on, like, a mask.
Nah, it clothes itself.
Okay.
But it also has an affinity for kidnapping females.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to say something, like, a couple minutes earlier, but you said that, like, the translation was, like, something hominid?
Yeah, the relic hominid of Central Asia.
I always think it's interesting when, like, people use that and be like, oh, we just think it's a Bigfoot because we haven't gotten up close. I actually think it's, like, an ancient humanoid.
my dude.
You know?
That's it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's... The theory is that this Neanderthal tribe or this group didn't die out when all the Neanderthals did about 30, 40,000 years ago. And they were living mm-hmm. in Central Asia in these mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... He has this beautiful just walkthrough of... what's the word? Anthropology. He talks about how the Neanderthals sort of dealt with Homo sapiens evolving, how their technology moved, and how they evaded this our species.
Hmm.
He interviews a ton of people from the area, the natives in northern Afghanistan. And he breaks down their interviews so wonderfully. He says things like, what percentage of them were adults? How long ago were they seeing this thing? Where were they? What time of day? So he has this huge log of data. Like, 90% of the stories were in the last 20 years of his expedition. 60% of them were in the last 5 years since he arrived. So between 1982 and about 1987.
So he's getting pretty good and current information on this.
Yeah, he's doing a wonderful breakdown of the events.
Yeah?
He's analyzing his own data. Like, in the report, he's saying, like, a majority of the people that I'm interviewing are nomads. And they're finding sightings of this creature up in the mountains, up in the hills, away from society.
Hmm.
So as he's analyzing the data, he's saying, oh, maybe it's this thing that's living outside of organized society. It's something we've not been seeing because humans don't go out there normally. It's these shepherds and these nomads who are going out there as part of their life and their business that's bringing them in contact with this creature.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the sounds that it makes. Their most sightings accompany this guttural grunting noise that all of the locals say no bird here makes that noise, no dog or jackal or anything that we know that lives here can make that noise.
Hmm.
And he goes crazy. There's this second study. They find documents that the USSR was conducting expeditions like this in the 70s and 60s. Called the Study of the Snowman.
No way.
Of creatures, like bipedal human-like things in the Central Asian steppes.
Huh.
So this is the first sort of public expedition, but it's definitely not the first to be done of these creatures.
That's crazy. So the USSR was looking for this fucking, like, Pakistan Yeti?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like, they had sent their own expeditions, and none of the logs or reports are translated in English of that sort of adventure that they went on.
They haven't been translated yet?
That's what I could tell, that they exist, but they're still in Russian. They're in their sort of official hands at this time.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll probably never see those documents in English then.
For sure. It seems to be pretty safely held.
That's crazy.
No. It's as this led me down the rabbit hole of, like, finding what happened to the Neanderthals, I thought about one of our friends.
Oh?
Do you know, one of our friends had took the 23andMe gene analysis thing?
Yes, I do.
One of the facts that they give you is what percent Neanderthal your DNA is.
Uh-huh.
Those things could mate. They could interbreed with Homo sapiens.
That is true.
So I had this circular moment. They were able to breed and genetically reproduce. All of the stories are of bipedal, guttural man-beasts wearing clothes, kidnapping women.
Oh, no.
So he draws the conclusion. He says, oh, this society of Neanderthals escaped the extinction that happened 30,000 years ago. They lived in these mountains, and they're continuing their race like this. In the hills.
What the fuck?
It's like a weird, is it The Hills Have Eyes, or is it Last Turn on the Left? Yeah, or yeah. It's those...
No, it's The Hills Have Eyes. Okay. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And there's this, have you ever heard of the Minnesota Iceman?
No.
The Minnesota Iceman is this well-preserved, some kind of pre-human, I don't know if it's a Neanderthal or...
Proto-human.
Yeah, one of those sort of steps before we get to Homo sapien.
Uh-huh.
Well-preserved in the ice in Minnesota or whatever. And he cites the drawings, the figure, the model of this beast when he's talking to the Pakistani people that he's interviewing. And it sounds exactly like it. It's like a one-to-one match of the descriptions.
Holy fuck.
To this thing that he has records of.
That's crazy.
So he was pretty firm. He was pretty ready to say, yeah, there's some kind of proto-human thing going on, this culture existing up in the mountains.
So has there been any finds of like skeletons or anything?
Yeah, dude.
Oh no.
There's tons of records of this kind of we going with proto-human? Is that the phrase I'm supposed to use? I don't know, like the
I don't think it's any sort of official term, but it's the one that sounds the coolest, so yeah. I'm gonna roll with proto-human.
There's records of their bones in this area. There's records of their technology in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Like Neanderthals, they wore clothes. They wore decorations. They knew how to make tools.
Huh.
Yeah, the second half of my like understanding of this monster was me learning about the separation between Homo sapiens and Neanderthals, like how that relationship worked out. And they, you know, coexisted for a time.
I mean, from my understanding, it seems like they're pretty similar, just yeah. The Neanderthal was better at living in the cold.
Yeah, it's not that different at all.
And they were, like, stockier and shorter.
Yeah, they were a little frumpier, a little bumpier.
Yeah, they were a little beefy.
Yeah.
And you know?
In his report, he's like, extinction doesn't happen instantly. These two peoples had to intermingle. They had to live together until one became the more dominant species. So the story goes... 500,000 years ago, evolutionary, we have Homo sapiens, we have Neanderthals, and that split occurs.
Yeah.
About 40 to 30,000 years ago, we officially call Neanderthals extinct. They lose. It's a Homo sapiens world.
Yeah.
And as that sort of relationship happens, we have traces of the Neanderthal going further east towards the Caucasus and the Middle Eastern area and what is now northern Pakistan. And he says there's a proto-human or an obsolete human out in those mountains living somewhere.
So our man here, the author, I forgot his name, but he believes it?
He believes it, and he goes on about how it's scientifically irresponsible to think that it couldn't happen, and it's socially irresponsible to not investigate this, to try and find more about this.
Really? I mean, he's not wrong, but it's hard. It's hard to get the scientific community to be like, okay, yeah, let's put our very limited amount of money we get into running around in the mountains looking for something that might not be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, this guy makes a very convincing case.
Oh yeah, I'll give you and give everyone this report that I have. It's amazingly thorough.
That's super cool, honestly.
And it became a sort of passion for him. It became this sort of goal that he had to investigate this. But I followed his story, and he goes back to Pakistan in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Begins living in villages. He begins teaching and tutoring people in that area. And
about the caveman? Or
I'm not exactly sure what he was teaching. I think it was more like general education type stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because dude has a wonderful like academic track record. He's like this lauded professor type guy. Like,
right.
Like real Indiana Jones type shit. But he was killed in 2002 during that time, during that visit to the villages.
What the fuck?
Like,
why was he killed?
He reported coming to the police saying people in this area weren't too happy with how he integrated with society. There was some cultural, religious friction going on at that time.
Wow, that's honestly super sad.
Yeah, yeah. And I think his child was also killed in that incident.
That's very sad. This mm-hmm. whole time I'm thinking, damn, we should email this guy and see if he'll come on the show or something.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That's very sad.
That's exactly how the story was like revealed to me, too. I went all the way through his paper, like read his report, thought he was a super cool guy, and then I was like, what happened to him? And we found it out at the end.
Well, damn, what a disappointing ending for our man here.
Mm-hmm. But he left, like I said, this wonderful resource. I mean,
I don't know if it's better or worse that there's no mystery around his death.
No, it's just straight up murder.
Straight up, like, he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go live over there, I'm gonna investigate this thing, and then he just gets fucking killed?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Damn.
And it,
well,
I don't like it. It makes me think in the future, like we've closed the case essentially on the Neanderthal. It's extinct according to all sort of scientific authority.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think people would respond if there were like truths that there were proto-humans still alive, or this weird, not technically human, sentient life out in the mountains?
I think it'd be a good little like maybe like a month-long distraction from the dumpster fire that is our society.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the world as a whole probably wouldn't give that much of a fuck. I mean, the scientific community and myself would just be going fucking crazy looking for all information I can about this, but I don't think the world would care much.
It reminds me of a conversation we had a little while ago, about a week or two, where I was telling you about how these monkeys are entering the Stone Age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if we're not ready to share our society with monkeys, what are we going to do with this, like, 98% human? Looks, walks, it can interbreed with people, like it's just doesn't have mastery of language. And Jordy goes into this huge debate in the paper about what it means that they can't talk, that they don't have this language or communication that we have.
Yeah.
Like, how would it interact? How would it sort of exist?
I can tell you how it'd go. The first one to that mountain with weapons and gear to secure this thing is going to put it in a cage on display.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Something horrible.
If we... Yeah, pretty much. I think it's better that our Neanderthal friends go undiscovered. Because I can only see horrible things happening to them if they get discovered. No. It's like... It's like, oh, I wish I could go back in time with my Game Boy and just freak everyone out. Like,
you'd get blasted.
They'd kill you. Yeah. They'd fucking kill you. You know? They'd be like, you're a fucking witch and end your life. You know?
Mm-hmm. This inability
to
share.
I think it works same way with, like, someone from the past coming into the really far future. Someone's going to do something to hurt them, you know?
Something to either abuse, exploit this discovery in some horrible way.
Yeah.
Another interesting part of his finding is he tracks when their sightings are, and there's this huge correlation between the sightings and warm weather, so he thinks they migrate during the winter.
Really?
Yeah, he says.
To, like, colder areas?
Somewhere warmer, I think he says.
To warmer areas?
Yeah, to get out of the winter cold in the mountains.
That's insane.
Yeah,
I believe it.
That they go somewhere.
Do we know when the last skeleton was found there? Because if there's a small society, a small clan of these things there, like, maybe we're underestimating how intelligent they are, and they don't want to be found. They do these things like pick up their dead or bury them or, like, take them with them. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe they're much better at hiding than we think, you know?
I believe the sort of fossil remain stuff is about Neanderthals from the past. I don't think there's any post-extinction stuff.
Okay, but they're not, like, there hasn't been any skeletal remains of, like, what could be the Barmuno?
There have been Neanderthal bones found in the area, but they're from back when they were accepted to be alive. But no, nothing fresh.
Nothing fresh?
No.
Yeah, because these things might not want to be found, you know? They might look off the mountain, see, like, hell demons.
Yeah.
You know?
A Neanderthal sees, like, a Honda riding over the hill, and he's like, fuck that.
Something horrifying. He's just like, nope, I cannot kill that with my club. We're going to hide in this cave forever.
Yeah, we're mountain dudes. We can survive. We can, I guess, mate horribly enough. And
yeah.
There, it's like a live and let live type thing, maybe.
Well, I mean, except the abducting females part, that's kind of sketch.
Something horribly to be stated. But he had 27 different people and about 32 sightings he has records of in his investigation at that expedition.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's a very, very interesting topic. I, like, that's really the only thing that can make Bigfoot likes interesting for me anymore is the whole anthropology, ancient humanoid spin on them, because Bigfoot is just so tired.
Yeah, if I would have dug deeper and found it was just some ape dude, I would have backed off and found something different.
But I love the ancient humanoid because there's a lot more science to it. There's a lot more merit to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a little tinge of doubt it can give you. That really sweet, like, what if?
Well, you read the paper. What do you think? Are you a believer of the Barmuno?
300 million%.
Yeah, you think he's out there?
I'm with it. Not just it. There's a whole host of them.
You think the whole clan is out there?
The tribe. The whole tribe. I don't know if it was his report or, like, some other report after that was like, this is why we have so many different Bigfoot-type sightings in so many different cultures around the world. It's because it's things like this.
Yeah.
Like, scores of little stashed proto-humans that didn't get wiped out
mm-hmm.
all across the world.
Honestly, I think we need to arm them, you know?
Like, just go leave
a big old crate of fucking AKs up there on the mountain for them, you know?
I mean, it's kind of this conversation with the tribes in the jungles of South America and Africa, is it like culturally responsible to forcefully enter these people into our era, or do you have to like live and let live? Do you have to isolate them?
Absolutely live and let live. If they wanted anything to do with our cars and our guns and our fucking futurish hellscape of a society all across the globe, they'd come get a piece of this action. But they're totally fine just chilling in the jungle, living their ways. And I don't think anybody has the right to disrupt that.
Perfectly said. Couldn't agree more.
You know, like, if they wanted to be a part of the world, they'd come be a part of the world.
Even the Barmano? Even the wild man of the mountains?
Barmunu? Those are his mountains.
For sure.
It'd be cool if we could get a photo. It'd be cool if we could shake hands. But I think if he was discovered, only horrible things could happen to him. And that goes for any isolated culture. You know?
It's not as much a fear of that culture. It's more of a fear of what we do.
Yeah, no.
It's knowing ourselves, yeah.
Only bad things could happen to them. Committed by us, you know?
Even unintentionally, a big factor in the Neanderthal extinction is disease.
That too, you know? Like, we could wipe their fucking immune system out.
Yeah, so it's up to me.
Well, no, they might be resistant to our diseases if they're kidnapping females
if dudes
to
made it this
further
far.
The clan.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they might be resistant to some.
Or at least hardy enough for something, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. This just in on Mad Tar Radio. The Barmunu contracts COVID-19.
Barmunu, don't give him 5G.
But no, it's... they just need to be left alone. I mean, if anything, for preservation. What, we're going to fucking kill it, and then what? We're going to fucking kill it, we're going to exploit it, and then, cool, that fucking, like, 10-million-year-old surviving race of proto-humans that we could have gathered so much more from just peaceful observation, well, fuck that.
What if, like...
fuck that, let's make some money off of it.
They live, and then they talk, or, like, communicate with other apes, and we get a full-blown monkey revolution.
That too. I mean, he could, you know, he could start the fucking uprising.
It's so...
I just don't think we have anything to gain by being like, no, come on, Barmunu, come down from the mountain. We're gonna get you a Twitter account. Like,
yeah, for sure. No, don't dissect it. Don't
leave him alone.
Study it. Don't try and show him how to, like, forge bronze. Like, let things happen as they will.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
and I don't know if he ever comes down from the mountain, is like, hey, you know, show me how to make a Facebook account, then hey, that's what he wants to do, then fine.
You're
but
in.
Until then, like, just leave him the fuck alone.
That's the official Mad Tower Radio conservation stance on all cryptids.
Yes.
Let it rock.
Observe and protect your local cryptids, and expose your local conspiracy theory.
I think that's a nice way to sort of bring us back up out of the sort of sad dip in the middle of that story.
Yeah. yeah, just remember, Mad Tower Radio here to observe and protect cryptids. They're our friends. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say on the topic.
Absolutely. If they want to talk, let them talk. But until then, we'll be listening.
Yep. This is Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.